Amen. That's a good song. Let's take our Bibles this morning over the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, also let me mention we do have the voter registration out in the foyer. And obviously we believe every Christian ought to be involved in voting. And so if you have not registered yet to vote, we would like to encourage you to do that. And there's an opportunity to do that in the foyer there. And obviously it's important that we stand on truth, amen? Just as the song stated, we need to stand for the Word of God and for truth and for what is right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we've been kind of just reading through this passage kind of in our series here on continue. In verse number 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Why don't we do something a little bit different this morning? Why don't we read those verses together? Can we do that? Let's read those verses together. If you don't have a Bible, the words are on the screen there. But let's read those verses together this morning. You read with me as I read aloud. Verse number 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, as we can read your word and, Lord, study it, we thank you for your Holy Spirit giving us insight and wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would just bless this morning as we look in your word. Thank you for the great singing. Lord, the words of the songs, Lord, even how they just kind of go with the message this morning, how you've worked that out as well. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work this morning in our hearts. Lord, just help us to be yielded to what you'd have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as we're continuing here, this series on continue, and we've looked at several things that we believe the Scripture tells us that we ought to continue in. Jesus said we are to continue in his love, and then we're not to continue in sin. We're to continue in reaching the lost. We're going to continue through tribulation, to continue in his goodness, to continue in sanctification. And he says here, again, notice he says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And everything that we believe, everything that we should know is true, should come from the Word of God. We understand the world tries to change truth. Man tries to change truth to make it to what they want it to be, but we can know that we can go to the Word of God and know what truth is because God has told us what it is in His Word. And so he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I know we've kind of looked briefly at some of these things, but this morning I want us to look at how important it is for Christians to continue in doctrine. To continue in doctrine, he says that Scripture is profitable for doctrine, right? Turn with me over to the book of 1 Timothy, just back a couple pages, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice what Paul tells Timothy here in verse number 12. I know this is kind of a theme verse for some of our young people, but he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of a believer, of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, I want you to notice what he says here. Look what he says up here. He says in verse number 13, obviously he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Let no man despise thy youth," but understand that Timothy was not a teenager at this time as when Paul is writing. There's no doubt that maybe Timothy may have been maybe in his late teens, early 20s or so when Paul found him and took him along with him, took him under his wing and began to disciple and mentor him. But Timothy's no longer what we would say a teenager or a young adult. He's probably in his late 20s, maybe even early 30s, right? And he said, Paul is telling him, don't let anyone despise thy youth. Right? In other words, don't let people try to criticize you for trying to serve God as a young person. And by the way, whether it's a teenagers or young people, don't let anybody ever criticize you for trying to serve God as a young person. You can't do anything greater than serve God, right? There's nothing greater that we can do with our life than serving God. And even those of us maybe who aren't so youthful or young anymore, can I say, hey, don't let anybody criticize you for serving God. If people try to criticize you, hey, don't let that discourage you. There's nothing greater than you can do than serving God with your life. Nothing greater, right? But Paul is writing to Timothy, and notice what he says in verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to several things here, right? He says, I want you to give attention to something here. He says, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, as Paul is writing to Timothy here, he's encouraging him in several areas. And I think this verse right here, you can take it in really two applications. There is your personal walk with God that you can have in this, but it also has to do with our public worship as well. As they would go, of course, if you go back to the early part of the New Testament, you would find that they would go to the synagogues, and when they would go to the synagogues, what you would find, the synagogues were more than just kind of a religious place to meet. We think of them as like a religious place because we hear about them so much in the Bible. They would go to the synagogues and preach and things. But the synagogue was like a central location where a lot was being done. They would come for education. They would come for town meetings. There was a lot that was done there. But on the Sabbath, on Saturdays, they would come there. And what would happen would be there would someone that would read publicly the Word of God. Somebody would read the Word of God publicly, and then they would expound on it. They would preach about it. They would teach about the meaning of it. And so he's saying both to Timothy in his personal life, hey, make sure that you're reading the Word of God. Make sure that you are being exhorted through it. Make sure that you're learning doctrine. But even publicly, there ought to be, as he says, the reading of the Word of God together. There ought to be that exhortation, that preaching of the Word of God. There ought to be teaching of doctrine, right? And again, this is something that can be done publicly as well. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but preaching a message to yourself a lot of times just doesn't work right, you know? I mean, I know many times we need to preach to ourselves, but, you know, you read and you get up and you're like, all right, now I'm going to preach to myself. It just, somebody might think you're a little odd if you did that, right? Your family might walk by the living room like, what are you doing? I'm preaching to myself. It's going to be a little bit odd to do that, right? But we do need that exhortation. And so he's talking both publicly and personally that the reading of scriptures, the exhorting of the believers through the preaching of the Word of God, but then also, and he gives the emphasis here, to doctrine. And then he says, notice what he says here in verse number 16, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. So there's two things that Paul specifically points out to Timothy that he says, I'm drawing attention to this. I'm drawing attention to these things. And Timothy, you need to make sure that your attention is drawn to these things. There's two things specifically that he speaks about here. He says, take heed to thyself and take heed to doctrine. Take heed to thyself. Notice again in verse number 16 there, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed to thyself and take heed to doctrine. Now, let's look at these two things this morning. Why would he say take heed to thyself? I mean, we could maybe understand, as we'll see here in a minute, about doctrine, making sure we know what we believe in things. But why does he say take heed to thyself? Take heed to thyself. Timothy, you better pay attention, not just to doctrine. You better pay attention to yourself. Take heed to thyself. And here's the thing we have to understand. If we're going to believe right, and if we're going to live right, that all begins in our personal walk with God. If our personal walk with God is not right, nothing else is going to be right. And this is why Paul is saying, Timothy, you've got to make sure that you're understand the very first thing that you've got to make sure and be aware of is your personal walk with God. Take heed to thyself, Timothy. How is your personal walk with God? Because if it's not right, can I tell you, friend, what you do in your family is not going to be right. What you do at work is not going to be right. What you do in your private time is not going to be right. If that will never be right until you first, he says, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. Your personal walk with God is more important than you could ever imagine. By the way, can I say, that's one of the reasons why the devil tries to get you to forget about it. That's why the devil tries to convince you that you don't have time for it. You don't have time to read your Bible. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to develop that relationship with God. You don't have time for those things. I mean, you've got so much other stuff that's going on in your life. Wait a minute. Paul says, Timothy, you better take heed to thyself. You better make sure that your walk with God, your personal, private worship and walk with God is right. Because if it's not, Timothy, nothing else is going to be right. Nothing else in life is going to be right. And I would say that, and I would say this carefully, but I believe this is probably where the devil tries to get us to think that this really isn't important. You know, hey, go to church and listen to the preaching, you know, maybe listen to some Christian music, do this or that or whatever, but don't spend time, you don't have time to spend time with God. You don't have time to really study the Word of God. I mean, studying the Word of God, that takes a lot of time. I've heard many times people say, well, you know, it's just hard to study because there's words in the Bible that I don't understand. Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you. Right there with you, right? So does that mean we just skip over them? We just don't do anything about them? Or does that mean that we've actually got to study? Right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to study. We've got to take time to study and make sure that our personal walk is right with the Lord. And this is why he says, Timothy, hey, you've got to be aware of this. Give attention to these things. Hey, are you reading the word of God? How much time are we spending each day in studying the word of God? Look, I understand sometimes, you know, we get up late, the alarm clock may not have gone off when we wanted it to go off, or maybe we just hit snooze a little too many times, right? And we're just we get up and we're just rushing to be able to get to work on time, and we missed our Bible reading, or we missed our time of prayer, we missed that time with God, and then as soon as work is over, we've got to take the kids here, and they've got to get to this game, and then we got to get to a supper here, and then we got to get the kids back so they can get to bed and things, and we're just exhausted by the end of the day. Look, I understand that life is busy. We get that. But he says, Timothy, take heed to thyself. Because if we get so busy on the things that are not truly of importance, and we forget the main thing that is important, then we have totally mixed up our priorities. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that your job is not important. I'm not saying your children aren't important. I'm not saying that, you know, having things going on in your life is important. But this is what he's saying. Take heed to thyself, Timothy. You've got to make sure that you are right in the area of your personal time with God. You have to give attendance to these things, Timothy. You give attendance to reading the Word of God. You give attendance to exhortation. You make sure that you're growing spiritually. You give attendance to doctrine. You make sure that you're learning these things. Because if you're not taking your time, if you're not taking heed to thyself, nothing else is going to be right. Nothing else. So can I encourage you this morning, as Paul is encouraging Timothy, take heed unto thyself. You're going to have to sit and you're going to have to find out and say, wait a minute, what's going on in my life that is, I get so busy that I don't have time for what God really wants in my life? What is taking place that's so busy in my life that I don't have time to take heed to myself? I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to study it. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to really walk with God in these areas because I'm so busy doing so many different things. And friend, can I tell you, you're busy doing the wrong things. This is the most important thing, and this is why Paul tells Timothy, take heed to thyself. We've got to make sure that our personal walk with God is right. But notice the second thing that he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Unto, and I like how Paul says this, the doctrine. The doctrine. You know there are many doctrines. Many doctrines, right? There is false doctrine and there's true doctrine. There is lots of false doctrine that is out there. What is doctrine? When we think of doctrine, when he says, take heed to the doctrine, when he says, back up in verse number 13, give attendance to doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is simply the instruction and teaching that we find. Now, if we're talking about biblical doctrine, which of course Paul, that's what he's referring to when he says take heed to the doctrine. He's talking about the teaching and instruction that we find from the Word of God. The things that we will base our belief system off of, right? These are doctrines, these are teachings, these are instructions that we find, okay? And we're gonna see some of these as we go along. But let's, first of all, let's think of false doctrine. Let's think of false doctrine first, because God gives us a warning of this. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 12, Jesus warns his disciples to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, hey, there are religious groups, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were two of the largest religious groups of Israel during this day. And he says, hey, disciples, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, interesting. He didn't say, beware of the doctrine of God. He said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Well, what was happening? Well, the problem was, in fact, Jesus speaks about this in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 9. He says that they were teaching the commandments of men as the doctrines of God. And he says, hey, you better beware of these doctrines that they're teaching, these instructions, this teaching that they're giving, because he says, here's the problem. It's not of God. It's their own ideas. It's their own preferences. It's their own things. But they're teaching it as doctrine. And friend, this is why he says, take heed to doctrine. And we're going to see again here in a minute, but we have to know, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible instruct? And when we find out what the Bible says, we have to determine, are we going to stand upon the truth of the Word of God, or are we going to follow the doctrines of men? Let me give you an example, just very quickly. The doctrine of men says that the world was created over billions and billions and billions and billions of years. That's the doctrine of men. The doctrine of God says that God created it in 6 days. Now, we have a choice. Are we going to believe the doctrine of men, or are we going to believe the doctrine of God? You say, but you know, there's so many scientists and think, wait a minute, we're not talking about scientists. We're talking about the doctrine of men or the doctrine of God. God says that he created the world in 6 days, 6 literal days. So are we going to believe what God says, or are we going to believe what man says? And this is what is happening. Man is trying to deceive. Man is trying to convince us not to believe God. You don't need to believe God. Don't follow the things of God. And this is why Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you better take heed to yourself first, make sure your relationship with God is right, and then you better check what you're believing. Is it the doctrine? In other words, do we find it in the Word of God? Is it come from God, or is it from some men? Is it just some religion? Is it just somebody that's teaching something, but we cannot find it in Scripture? And this is why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. Look over there with me, just very quickly. It's kind of hard to explain this verse without you looking at it. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what he says in verse number 14. He says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You understand? Paul says, hey, you better be aware, because just because someone says this is from God or this is a doctrine doesn't mean that it's from God. In fact, he says they're cunning, they're deceitful. Their whole purpose is to deceive you, not to believe what God says. Friend, why does the world want you to believe in billions and billions and billions of years instead of six literal days? You want to know why? First of all, they don't want to believe God. That's one reason. And secondly, here's the other reason. They want you to think that you are absolutely worthless. You're worthless. Because if you're just here because of some random cosmic chance that happened, you have no purpose in life. You're not really needed here. But you know what God says? You were created in His image. And you have a purpose. God has a purpose for you. Now let me ask you a question. What would you rather believe? That you were created for a purpose, or you're just nothing and there's just no reason to exist? You see, there's a choice. And they're trying to, again, this is what he says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, what is the whole purpose of this deception? Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Again, this is all throughout the New Testament about why it's so important that we believe right doctrine. In Romans chapter 16, notice what he says in verse number 17. Romans chapter 16, last chapter there, verse number 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." And he says, hey, if there are people that are teaching a doctrine contrary to the Word of God, he says, you mark them, you avoid them. Why? Why is this such a drastic thing? This is what he says, verse 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." You know what he's saying there? They're serving self. All they're concerned about is self. And watch what they do. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Oh, they make it sound really good. But he says it's not biblical. It's not doctrinal. It's just something they made up. You know, people can say, well, hey, you know what? I believe God is just a God of love, and God just loves everybody. And no matter what religion you're part of, you know, God loves everybody. And so no matter what religion you're part of, God's going to accept everybody, and everybody's going to make it some way or the other. Well, that sounds really nice. Right? I mean, it sounds nice. God's a God of love, and everybody's going to make it. You just keep trying. It doesn't matter what religion you're a part of. Everybody's just going to make it eventually. Sounds good. The only problem is it's wrong. It's wrong. You say, well, how can you say it's wrong? Well, because the Bible says there's only one way. Well, now you're just being narrow-minded. You're just being a bigot, and you're just saying that other people, you're saying your way is right. No, friend, it's not my way. It's God's way. It's not my way. I didn't come up with it. God did. God said, this is the only way. Now, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to believe what man says, or am I going to believe what God says? Am I going to believe that it doesn't matter what religion I'm a part of, that everybody's just going to make it somehow? Or am I going to believe what God says, that there is only one way, and that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ? You see, these false religions, their whole purpose is deceiving people for their own benefit. Let me ask you a question real quick. If they're not teaching the right doctrine, who do you think is behind all of these false doctrines? Who do you think is behind it? I can tell you who it is. It's the devil. He's behind all these false doctrines. Why? Because he wants people to be convinced and to think that they are good enough. Somehow they can make it. Somehow you can do something. And God says, sorry, there's nothing you can do. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. These false doctrines are only concerned about deceiving people, and that's why the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, who has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. He wants to keep people blinded. So we have to understand there is false doctrine. But let's look at true doctrine. In true doctrine, we find, again, as I mentioned here, and some of this might be repeated a little bit, but true doctrine is not of man. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We have to understand, and I've heard this many times, you know, well, you know, you think your religion's the only one. You know, this is a, what do they call it, like an Anglo, this is an Anglo-Saxon religion, you know, it's only for you people, you know, whatever. Wait a minute, did some man come up with this? Was it a man that came up with this? Where did this doctrine that we believe, and where did it come from? Look what he says in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, notice in verse number 16, and Jesus answered them, said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. You understand, the doctrine that we find in the Word of God is not some man-made doctrine. It is the doctrine of God. This is God's teaching. This is God's instruction. Jesus said, even what I'm teaching you, it is from above. And that's why, friend, if somebody cannot take the Word of God, and by the way, even I would say just be careful about this, because they'll try to take the Word and try to teach you something that it doesn't say. But if the doctrine is not coming from the Word of God, can I tell you, friend, it's not from above. It's not of God. And that's why even Jesus said you have to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they are just teaching their own ideas, the commandments of men, as the doctrine of God. They came up with a bunch of these things, and they just started teaching them as doctrine. He says they're not doctrine at all. They didn't come from God. They're simply the commandments of men. Jesus said, this doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And we have to understand, this is from above. This is from God himself. And that's why Paul is saying, Timothy, hey, you better take heed to the doctrine. You better make sure that you know the things that you're believing and you're holding to, you better make sure that they come from the Word of God. We're not talking about whether they came from a religion. We're not talking about whether they came from a denomination. We're not talking about whether grandma and grandpa held to them. We're talking about, did they come from the Word of God? Because if not, we got a serious problem. Someone is now teaching something that as doctrine that is not from God. And I find this interesting, even when you go back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 28, he talks about how that babies are not able to understand doctrine. He's not talking about babies physically. He's talking about spiritually immature people. They cannot understand doctrine. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians to grow in our spiritual walk, so that we can understand what the doctrine of God is. Let's think about some doctrines that we would say we know they come from the Word of God. We have to say, I know this, right? Here's one. Some people say, well, that book you hold to, that book was just written by a bunch of, fishermen and shepherds and things like that. You know, that really wasn't from God. Well, I beg to differ. What was the verse we just read a little bit earlier back in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see, we can know that the Word of God has the doctrine of God because this book is His Word. It's God's Word. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Other people will come along and say, well, you know, it's nice to have the Bible, but now we have a new book. Now we have another book that God wrote. Because, you know, God, that book was, there's errors, there's mistakes, you know, it had some problems, and so God had to write a new book. Anybody ever told you that before? I've heard that many times. God had to write a new book. Well, this is the problem. If God couldn't keep this book, how can you tell me that God's going to keep the second one? If God wasn't powerful enough to keep this book right, and you're telling me he had to write a new one, how do I know that the new one isn't right now? How do I know he's not going to have to write a third one or a fourth one or a fifth one or a sixth one? See, he said it's perfect, it's pure. God's Word. And that's why we believe what we call the inspiration of Scripture, that God, His Word is inspired. These are the very words of God. These are not man's words. This isn't something that Paul or Peter or James or David or Elijah or somebody says, hey, let's just write a bunch of words. No, these are the very words of God. But you're going to have people that are going to try to convince you that this is not God's Word. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what they have to say? You're going to believe that there's some new book that's come along, some new revelation that God has given? Or are we going to say, now, wait a minute, hold on a second. God has given us everything that we need to know in His Word. Right here, we have it. There's nothing more, nothing less. This is exactly what He has for us. And we're going to hold to the doctrine of Scripture. That's why Paul tells Timothy, hey, you better make sure that it's in Scripture. You better make sure that you're getting it from the Word of God, not just from man's ideas and opinions. What about the Godhead? Someone were to say, hey, we don't really believe in the Godhead. We don't believe in what you people call the Trinity. We only believe that there's just one God. We don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do? Are you going to just follow what they believe because they made some new religion, some new idea? Or are we going to take what the Word of God says and trust God's Word and say, look, I may not be able to fully understand everything there is to understand about God. And by the way, if there's anybody that says they can fully understand everything there is to know about God, they are lying. Because you cannot. You can't. You know why? He's God. He's God. You can't understand everything there is to understand about God. And there are things that we have to take by faith. That we're just, I mean, you think there's many things we just say, I don't know how God did it, but God said He did, and I'm just going to believe what God says. We understand that God said, hey, there are three. There's a Godhead, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. They have existed from, there is no beginning, there's no ending to any of them. You say, well, and people love to come up with these hypothetical questions, right? Look, can I tell you, just stick with what the Word of God says. Just stick with what the Word of God says. Does the Bible tell us that Jesus is deity, that He is God? Yes, He does. All throughout Scripture, we find that the deity of God, we find the virgin birth. Can I tell you, that's a doctrine that we hold to. The virgin birth and the deity of God, of Jesus Christ. Those are doctrines that we find in His Word. The fall of man. Look, it wasn't that some billions and billions of years ago this happened. No, the reason that we find a curse, the reason that we find death, the reason that we find sickness and sorrow and hurt and things in this world is because of the fall of man. because man chose to disobey God. It wasn't some cosmic chance or whatever. No, it goes back to man had a choice to make, to choose to obey God or disobey God. Why do we have all the problems? If God was a loving God, why would he have created all the problems that we have? He didn't. You know why we have it? Because we chose to disobey God. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. We chose to disobey. But aren't you glad that even though we chose to disobey, God reconciled? That God was willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could be brought back to him? And by the way, there's only one way, as we said, that is through Jesus Christ. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. It's only through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You see, that's a doctrine that we find in Scripture. Eternal security, that's a doctrine we find in Scripture that, hey, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can never lose your salvation. You say, oh, you know, you people that believe that easy believism stuff, you're just causing people to continue in sin. No, friend, you don't understand salvation then. You don't understand what God says about salvation. There is repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a repentance toward sin, a turning from that to God and what he has done, and Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. And now as I grow in Christ, guess what's going to happen? As I'm growing and I'm learning what God has for me, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a desire to sin less. And I sin less and I sin less as I grow and I become more and more like Jesus Christ. Why? He's trying to change me into his image. We talked about that last week, that sanctification. How he's trying to sanctify us and make us more like Jesus Christ. Look, I understand there's doctrines and religions that say, hey, you can't keep your salvation. You can lose your salvation. You sin, you don't repent, whatever it is, you can lose your salvation. Friend, can I tell you, that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Word of God. Hey, do we not believe that one day Jesus Christ is returning? I hope you do. Can I tell you, that's a doctrine that we find in the Word of God. And that's why he says, if we know, look there in 1 John. Look with me in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3. In verse number 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hey, John said, hey, the Lord's going to come. And one day, we may not understand it all, but one day we're going to be like him. God's going to take our vile body and he's going to change it and give us a glorious body. That's something we have to look forward to, right? That's a doctrine we find. But also along with that, notice what he says next. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He said, hey, if you believe that Jesus is coming, you believe that one day he's going to change our vile, wicked body into a glorious body, he said, hey, then you ought to be working to purify yourself. He said, if you have that hope, you ought to be trying to live more like Jesus Christ each and every day. It's not just this, hey, you can just live however you want type of salvation. No. If you get saved, your desire ought to be to live more like Jesus Christ. And to live in a way that is purifying yourself and helping you as you walk with Christ, is going to help you to live more like him. Why? Because we know he's coming. Do you know why many times we don't live the way he wants us to live? Because we really don't believe he's coming. I mean, I guarantee you, if you knew that Jesus Christ was coming today at 6 p.m., it would change your whole day today. Would it not? If you knew that Jesus was coming at 6 p.m. today, there are things that you would get rid of. There are things that you would stop doing and stop saying because, man, Jesus is coming back at 6 o'clock today. I better be ready. Well, then why are we still doing it? Why are we still doing those things? Why are we still saying those things? Why are we still holding on to those things that we know he doesn't want? Well, because he's not coming today at 6 o'clock. You're right. He may not come at 6. He might come at noon. You see, we don't know when he's coming. And he says, if we have this hope, what's it going to do? It's going to cause us to purify ourselves, to be ready for him when he comes. You understand? That's what he's talking about, this doctrine. He says, Timothy, hey, you take heed to yourself. You make sure you're right. And then you make sure the things that you're believing and that are you're teaching are right as well. You hold to these things, this doctrine. And this is what he says. Go back with me to the 1 Timothy there, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Hey, these are things that we should not only make sure that we have right, but we need to make sure the next generation has right as well. Can I ask you a question? Those of you that have parents, that you have children still in the home, has there ever been a time when you sat down with your children and you went through doctrine from the Word of God? You went through doctrine with them. You say, well, they're too young to understand doctrine. Well, when are they going to be old enough? When they're 18 and out of the house and they've already got their belief system made? Well, that's too late then, friend. It's too late. You've got to start when they're young. You say, how young? How about one? How about we go there? You say, well, they can't even understand. Well, then why do you tell them no? I'm not saying they're going to understand all the doctrine, but I'm saying, why do we think that we shouldn't wait to start teaching our children till they're grown and out of the house? It's too late then, friend. These young people, if you have children in your home, you ought to be able to sit down with them. And these young people, I'm thankful for the master clubs, and I'm thankful for the super church and the Sunday school and things like that. And man, I'm telling you, they learn a lot in those things. They learn doctrine. They learn many things. But that shouldn't be where they learn it. It should be in home. Why? Because parents who are taking heed to themselves and taking heed to the doctrine are saying, hey, I need to make sure that my children are doing these things as well. I need to make sure my children understand how important it is to have their personal time with God. I need to make sure my children understand what eternal security is and what salvation is and what the Bible says about creation and who God is and all of these different things. Because if not, guess what's going to happen? Just as Paul says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, you better take heed to these things. Because if you don't take heed to them, guess what's going to happen? The next generation is not going to have them either. The next group is not going to have them. You say, well, that's why we have church. We bring our kids to church so they can learn here. Look, I'm glad you bring your kids to church, and I'm glad you're here in church, but this isn't the place for them to be learning it. This is a place for it to be reinforced. Not to learn. What is happening here should simply be reinforcing what they're learning at home. If you're waiting for them to learn it here, we're failing. We're failing. Because we're leaving it up to something that God did not give to do it. It's got to be done at home. Hey, praise God, it's reinforced at church. By the way, you ought to make sure that whatever church you're going to teaches sound doctrine and reinforces the doctrine. But take heed to thyself, Paul says, Timothy. Take heed to the doctrine, Timothy. You make sure that you've got it right. You make sure that your life is right. Your walk with God is right. You make sure that the doctrine that you believe and teach is right. Then you're able to do what is right. You're able to live in a way that God wants you to live. Why? Because we're taking heed to the doctrine, the things that we know God has said in His Word. You know, what's sad to me is that you go to many churches today and you were to ask people, what are some of the doctrines of the Word of God? And many of them would probably only be able to give you one or two. One or two. And if you ask them, well, what about this doctrine? Do you believe this doctrine? Do you believe in eternal security? Well, yeah, I do. Well, where do you find that? Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, is it? Yes. But where? Look, I'm not saying we have to have the whole Bible memorized, but we need to know doctrine. This is why he says, continue in them. Why? Because there's going to be all kinds of false doctrine. Look, if you think that you've been inundated with false doctrine, just wait till your children are growing and seeing what kind of false doctrine they're going to be inundated with. I mean, just look at our society today and tell me they're not going to be inundated with false doctrine. Have we prepared them? Are we making sure that we are prepared for the false doctrine that is creeping up all the time? Are we preparing them for the false doctrine that is creeping up and that is going to creep up? This is why he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Friend, your personal time with God, yourself, is it lacking? Is it something you need to take heed to and work on? If so, do it. Take heed to it. Get it right. To doctrine. Do you need to take heed to doctrine? You need to get back in the Word of God and say, man, there's a lot of things about doctrine I don't know. There's some things that I need to learn, and I need to find out what the Bible says about these things so that I can have confidence and know this is what God says and not follow some traditions of men. Paul says, take heed to these things. Continue in them. Friend, if we don't continue in them and if we don't teach them to our children in the next generation, what's going to happen 20 and 30 and 40 years from now? We're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. Because no one is taking heed to themselves spiritually, and no one's taking heed to the doctrine that we know God has taught in His Word. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, can I ask you a question? Do you know for sure that you're saved? I'm not talking about what some religion has taught about salvation. I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. That there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not through a baptism, it's not through a church, it's not through being a good person, but it is only through Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I've been trusting in something else other than Jesus Christ. I mean, I believe in Jesus Christ, but there's been something else that I've been trusting in for salvation other than Jesus Christ. And I need today, I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I need to do that today. Friend, if that's you, would you just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. I need to do that today. No one else is looking about. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, I need to do that today. I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Him alone, nothing else. Anyone this morning, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's what I need to do. And Christian, can I ask you this morning, are you taking heed to yourself? You've got to make sure that your personal time with God, that you are growing spiritually in your walk with God, that you're spending the time that you need in the Word of God and in prayer. It's not the pastor's job to spend time in the Word of God and prayer for you. That's your job. You've got to take heed to yourself. Have we gotten so busy that we don't even have time to read His Word and to pray and study His Word, to grow spiritually in our walk with Him? Do we even know what the Bible teaches about certain doctrines that we have to hold to? Because, hey, the world is constantly trying to change doctrines and trying to put in the commandments of men as doctrines of God, and they're not. And we really wouldn't know what they were because we don't know the Word of God. We've got to continue in doctrine. We've got to continue in these things and teaching them to our children and the next generation. Are we continuing in doctrine? Not in what man says, not in man's ideas, not in the commandments of man, but in the doctrine of God. Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to continue in these things. Lord, our own personal walk needs to be right. We can get so busy with life and doing so many other things that we fail in our walk with you. Lord, I pray you to help us to take heed to that and realize that needs to be first. And Lord, as we study your word, that as we understand what doctrine is, these teachings that we find in your word, that we would hold to them, we would continue in them, and teach them to our children and the next generation so that they can know what is true, what is right. Lord, we need Christians to know your word. If we're truly going to make a difference in this world, if we're going to truly live right for Jesus Christ, we must know your word. And Father, I pray you to help us in this. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano is just going to begin playing softly. Maybe this morning there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone today. Friend, we'd be happy to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved.